All right, so we are going, there's booklets here. Is it going? So we have booklets here, and we are going to start, we're going to continue in Nezikin, but we're going to start another inyan, which is a groma and garmi, which means indirect damage. Now, just going to give one akdama. That's good. Yeah? Okay. So, one akdama is, first of all, is that we'll explain that where indirect damage in halacha is called grama. It's because you caused a loss, but you weren't mazik, b'yadayim, you didn't damage. You're potter. Now, today, legally, I think that much of a legal case of damage ends up being about this, the indirect cause of damage. What's it called? Circumstantial. What? The secondary damage. So if you, your incidental damage is right. If you call, you went ahead and you broke your toe. And when you're in Disney World, so now, you gotta go to the doctor and get it. But now, I couldn't work for a month. Not only that, I got so depressed that I couldn't work for a month. I really couldn't work for a year after that. And then I forgot. So basically, all of a sudden, now you owe, you sue for, all the money that you could have earned, and there was a half a million you could have earned, and that, all the emotional damages that got caused from stubbing your toe and all this stuff. So, halacha, any loss which is incidental to the damage is called a grama. At best, it's called a grama. It's indirect. And if it's indirect, you're potter. So, this sugya really is where, I think, the biggest chilek between secular law, how it would look at a certain accident case versus halacha. Halacha is very strict how it defines damage, and it's specifically you have to go ahead and basically break the person's window. Short of that, you're pretty much off the hook. Now, we'll see a few cases of that. However, there's another category, so that's all called grama. Like last man, I always said after 14 shiurim, the least thing you should know is adam mu'ad la'olam, right? That there's no exemption for oinus by nezikin. So here, the main term to know is grama. Grama means incidental, indirect damage. However, there is another term in the Gemara, and the other term in the Gemara is called garmi. Garmi is a stronger, it's more direct. It's still not mamish b'yadayim. It's not that you went ahead and you literally damaged him, but it's incidental, but it's more direct. Garmi is more direct. And garmi, we paskin, you actually are chayiv. So the big inyan over here, which if you look in the Shulchan Aruch, just to give you a little bit idea, if it's on page 15 in the booklet, or if it starts on page 14, if you see the sizes of these shachs, for example, it's on page 14. I'm not even going through it, but look at the size of the shach over here. It's just pages and pages and pages. It goes from page 14 till basically 21, 22. Pages and pages of shach on this. And basically what all that is coming to explain that what is the difference between grama and garmi? Why is it sometimes you're potter, sometimes you're chayiv? Either way, it seems to be incidental. Let me just give you an example. I'll throw out two cases. I'm just going to throw out two cases, and you get a feeling of understanding what I'm talking about. Case number one, the Gemara says, is that if I have I lent you money, and I didn't write a shtar, but I have witnesses. I have witnesses that the witnesses would be meyid in Bezdin that Reuven owes Shimon money. Right? Reuven owes Shimon money. But Reuven goes over to the witnesses, or let's say Levi goes over to the witnesses and says, here is $100, don't be meyid. Don't testify. So the Gemara says Levi's exempt, even though he's causing now that Shimon cannot collect his $100. He's basically the main cause. Shimon would be able to collect $100. The only reason he cannot collect $100 is because Levi paid off the witnesses. Levi is Potter. Because now, even though Shimon cannot collect his debt, Levi's Potter. But if Levi, let's say Shimon has a shtar, he has a document, a promissory note, discussing the chayv, and Levi would go ahead and burn the shtar, then Levi is chayv because it's dina degarmi. Even though he also didn't take away money out of Shimon's pocket, right? He didn't take away money out of Shimon's pocket. He just makes that Shimon can't collect the chayv. The chayv is still there, but Shimon can't collect. He has no proof. So, well, either I scared off the witnesses or I burnt the shtar. But I didn't really directly mazik Shimon. I indirectly made it that Shimon cannot collect the chayv. One case you're chayv, one case you're potter. So, just an example. We have to figure out why is this chayv, why is this potter? Okay? So, we're going to... This is the avoid over here. So, I will say that I think the Olam... you have these books, and every Gemara that discusses this is pretty much in here. You will definitely get more out of it if you learn it a little bit, and besides relying on the Shir, because the Makuris are... It's just going over the same Gemaras over and over again, and trying to define the distinctions between this case and that case. So there's a couple Gemaras, which are on page from 1 to page 10 in the book. And... you know, whoever is available, maybe Shabbos will, you know, to learn it or whatever it is gonna end up getting more out of it, because it's really a job complicated. that's okay. So that's the Hakdam over here. Is that I think whereas in last Zman we were learning a lot about damages, we ended up really realizing that, let's say, car accidents and different things actually were pretty similar, the halacha, the sugyas, with the secular law. It's wherever we put the blame, essentially, we're able to figure out who's chayv. Over here, it's completely different, because we completely exempt anybody from indirect damage. Now, I'm going to give one other akdama, which is based on the way I printed the Gemaras are in the order of the Masechta of Baba Kama. I printed it in the order, so Chavav, Nunhei, etc. I didn't print it in the order that we're going to learn it, because I just felt it's just going to be better in order. So the first Gemara, let's just, as a Hakdama, let's learn the Gemara on page Nunhei Amud Beis, which is page 2. It's Gemara Baba Kama. The Gemara Baba Kama says, Tanya, Omar Rabbi Yeshua. So this is just a classical Gemara that lists four cases of grama. Grama, again, indirect damage at your potter. Omar Rabbi Yeshua, Arba Dvarim, Ha'isa Oisan. If anyone does any of the following four things, potter midine Adam, your potter in Bezdin, V'chayav bedine Shamayim. Bedine Shamayim, they're going to mechayiv you for this. So Bezdin cannot... This is not actionable in Bezdin. Bezdin cannot force you to pay, but in reality, you caused damage to someone, and you should pay for it. And bidinei shamayim, if a person leaves this world without having paid for it, in the next world, he's going to have to pay for it. So, and we'll get to another nafkmina of that. But anyway, ve'eluhein. So let's take one case, all four cases. Case number one. Ha'poyritz geder b'fnei behemas chaveroi. You have, your friend has a farm, and on the farm he has a lot of animals, and they're all fenced in. And you come in and break down the fence. Now, because you broke down the fence, all the animals are able to leave, and he loses some of his animals. So, the Gemara says, that's a grama. The fact that he lost the animals is indirect damage. You have to obviously pay for the fence, because you physically broke the fence. But you don't have to pay for the animals, because the animals leaving is considered indirect, incidental to what you did. And therefore, you are potter. Bidinei Adam. Case number two. Hakoifev koimaso shachaver b'fnei adleika. This is a little more complicated, but basically a fire is coming, and you put something in the line of the fire. Okay, the Gemara says it's a little more complicated than that, but that's case number two. So you didn't light the fire, you didn't really do anything, but you made it that the fire was able to damage him. Case number three, Hasoichar Ede Sheker Lahoid. You hired false witnesses. So now, because of the witnesses that you hired, now Reuven has to pay Shimon money out of pocket. But since you didn't directly cause that damage, you just hired the witnesses, you're potter. Or you know testimony for your friend that could have exempted him from paying, and you didn't testify. So again, incidental damage. So you're potter in all these cases. I will say something very fascinating, that I was in Chicago last winter, the H3 conference, and Rabbi Saul Reisman said over the following case. He didn't say the case, actually. He said a story. The story was, he didn't say the case, but the story basically was that two people went to their Rav to find out the halacha. One person basically indirectly caused damage to someone else. Maybe the case, something like, he gave him money for an investment, the investment went sour, he feels he was pishteya, he didn't do enough due diligence on the investment, etc. So the Rav said, both parties said, look, we're not arguing on the facts. We all agree to exactly what happened. This is exactly what happened. There's no question here. The question just is, someone has to tell us, am I chayv? If I'm chayv, I'll pay. If I'm not chayv, I don't want to pay. That was the shaila. So they said, we don't want to go to Beis Din. There's no reason, because we don't want to get complicated. And we'll just go to a Rav, and we will accept upon ourselves whatever the Rav says. I just want to know the halacha. So he said, go to Rabbi Reisman. So these two people went to Rabbi Reisman, and Rabbi Reisman says to the person who caused the damage, you have to pay, you're chayef. Okay, fine, that's the law. So the first Rav, who knew the case a little bit, he wasn't a dayan, so he didn't want to say the halach, but like as far as he was concerned, he didn't understand why in the world would Rabbi Reisman say that you're chayiv. So he called up Rabbi Reisman and said, why, could you just explain to me why you said he's chayiv? I thought it was a grama. Did I miss something on that? Grama again, right? What is grama? What's the halach of grama according to our Gemara? Your potter, but you're chayiv b'dinei shemayim. So Rabbi Reisman said that he has a Kabbalah from Rav Palm. He said this over Barabim. He has a Kabbalah from Rav Palm. They said, if you go to Beis Din, so when you're going to Beis Din, so Beis Din is telling you what the halacha is. So they cannot; it's not actionable in court. And if it's only grama, you're potter. Okay, they can't tell you more than that. But say if you're going to a rav, why are you going to a rav? You're going to a rav to find out what's the right thing to do. What should I do? You're not coming as a psak din. You're coming to a rav. If you come to a rav for a psak, then the halacha is chayiv. Because b'dinei shemayim you have to pay. So, just like the Rav could tell you, listen, you should daven tefillah b'tzibur three times a day. The Rav could tell you that, you know, this is, you have to make sure you're having a chavrusa every day. B'dinei shemayim, the Beis Din can't force you to do that. But the Rav could tell you you have to do it. So the Rav is allowed to say chayiv, not just that it's a good thing, b'dinei shemayim. He's allowed to say chayiv. Suffice it to say that the dayanim in the room were not very happy with this psak, including Rabbi Kahn. To go wild. This is, I couldn't believe that there was such a psak like that. Hey, talking that a Rav has greater koyach than a Beis Din to mechayiv mamon.
Yeah, he wasn't being mechayiv.
He said chayiv. He didn't say suggestion. B'din Hashemayim. He said chayiv. That was the whole chiddush of the case. The chiddush is that he said chayiv. So he said because chayiv b'din Hashemayim, and the Rav's job is to tell you what your obligation to Shemayim is.
He said chayiv
b'din Hashemayim. Yeah, that was the chiddush. He didn't get. He that's the chiddush of Rav Palm's thing.
He's saying he said
clapping the Rav. Right, exactly. If you would have said b'din Hashemayim, you would say okay, b'din Hashemayim, I'll meet you up in Shemayim. I'll pay you then. But al kapanim, so you see that this chayiv b'dinei shemayim, even though we're talking in Beis Din, and if you, it's not a joke. This b'dinei shemayim, it's a real thing. It's a real thing. It means that really you're supposed to pay. It's just that Beis Din can't make you pay. But really, the right thing to do, and it could be on some level, you're actually chayiv to pay. There's a big shaila in the rivash and the ketzois and other cases. What that the Beis Din can't force you to pay. What if you're already holding money of his for something else? A tfisa, right? Let's say, right, in our case, Levi told the witnesses not to be made. Or he himself knows testimony that would get Shimon back his money, and he decides not to pay. He decides not to be made. So now Shimon cannot collect his choy from Reuven. So Gemara says Levi's off the hook. What if Shimon has money of Levi in his reshus from a different deal? Can Shimon hold the money back from paying Levi because, hey, you chayv to me b'din shemayim? So Beis Din can't force you, but really you owe me the money on some level, so maybe I'm allowed to make my own collection. There's a shayla in the machlokes rishonim. Machlokes between the Yamsha Shloima and the Rivash, the Ketzais brings down. So this chayv b'din shemayim is not just like it's a mitzvah. It could be to some level there's a chiyuv that you have to pay. But al kapanim, this is called a grama and what? So that's why I said in this case, tfisa. I didn't want to say tfisa because people will be like, tfisa is a little, sounds very violent.
What's
tfisa? Tfisa means you're grabbing the money without a psak of Bezdin. So my case is a little bit of a flowery, a more edel case of tfisa. You already have the money, but you're not giving it back. But really, tfisa means you can go into his rishos without the rishos of Beis Din. And I don't have the authority of Beis Din, but maybe I have the authority to come collect myself. So there's such a thing like that. Another case you have that is by Kimle Bedrabimine. We talked last week. Let's say you're driving a car in Shabbos and you got into a car accident. So you don't have to pay because you're chayv skila for the driving the car. Right? So you can't be chayv misa and chayv momen. But even though you can't be chayv momen, it could be that tfisa works because you really do owe the money. Just Beis Din can't punish you twice. But if the nizik, the guy who got damaged, wants to go collect, it could be he's allowed to if he can grab the money on his own. Okay. So that's the din of grama. So we have four cases in the Gemara. What's grama? Does everyone understand so far grama, why it's considered indirect? Yeah? It's indirect. I didn't do it myself. I knocked down his wall and his animals went out by themselves. Okay? Now let's see a few other cases. Okay? Go back to page one. Interesting case. Amar Rabba. The Amar Rabba. It's important to remember the name Rabba. Amar Rabba. Zorak Kli Meroish Hagag. Someone came and threw a delicate glass vase, utensil, Kli, off of the roof. His luck was that there's a pillow there. So I come and scare the guy. Said, how much is this thing worth? No, that thing's worth $2,000. It's a chashava crystal, whatever, bowl. So he says, okay, well, and he throws it off the roof. It's burning break. No. He had put over there, or there was already a pillow, a mattress underneath, and nothing was going to happen to the kli. Okay, no problem. Uba acher v'silkan, and someone came while the kli is in midair and took away the mattress. You have the case? Someone threw a crystal off the roof. There was a mattress. It wasn't going to break. And someone comes and pulls out the mattress. Now the crystal will break. So for the guy who threw it off the roof is definitely potter. He's potter because he didn't, as far as his mice, it was not a mice hezek at all. He threw it off the roof? To annoy the guy, to scare him for 5 seconds. Maybe it was his younger brother. Okay. Ubacher v'silkan. Oy, kadam v'silkan. Even the guy himself, maybe. This is already a bigger chiddush. Potter. He's Potter. The guy who took the mattress out from underneath the falling crystal is Potter. He does not have to pay. He's exempt. My taima, why is he potter? Be'idna deshadye, because at the time that the first guy threw it, psuki paski gire, his arrows were broken. Meaning, the first guy's potter because his maisa throwing off the thing, off the roof, was not a maisa hezek, because it was a broken arrow. It couldn't have broken the kli, because when he threw it off the roof, there was a mattress there. The guy who pulled out the mattress, why is he potter? It's only because of him that it broke. Says Rashi, last Rashi on the page. Who did the Maisa? No, so the Gemara says Psuke Paske Legire, which means that it's the arrows were broken. Meaning to say that when I threw it, it wasn't a Maisa Hezek. because it was going to land on top of the mattress. So it's not considered that he did a ma'aseh hezek. That's the chiddush of the Gemara. So the Gemara says, "Sharei mizrikosoi ain't soifil yishaver achi notlu akarim." Says Rashi, "Vizesh notal akarim." What about the guy that pulled away the pillow? Afilu hazerik atzmoi. Even if it's the guy who threw it himself. Notlon potter de grama benizok in hava. It's a grama. Right? So there's another example of grama. But this grama, let's think about it for a second. Do we see any distinction between this grama and the gramas that we had before? Let's take the case where I opened the gate and the guy's animals walked out. That's one case of grama. And here, I pulled out the mattress from a fallen crystal. So Rashi says, and the Gemara seems to be mashma, that the guy who pulls out the mattress is potter because it's grama. Can you think of any chilek between it, or it's poshut that it's the same thing? Any svarot mechalek? But the mice happened already. It doesn't require a new mice anymore. No, I'm talking about the guy who pulled out the mattress. Why is he a grama?
He didn't do the mice.
He didn't do the mice, but it's in midair already. Doesn't make it. Yeah, but the zorik is for sure potter. The zorik. Yeah. Okay, that I'm not going to talk about now. That's a big. Right. That's a nice chiddush. And also that guy. I don't know. He must be. Maybe we'll get that elevator inside. I mean, how did he get? He's faster than the speed of light. He's faster than the speed of gravity.
Right. That's like the parts together and then trying to get the animals around the animals.
Right. Okay. So let's leave out the zorik for now. Okay. Let's talk about if it was a different third party that pulled out the
pillow. I'm saying.
I would think that
one. Once more, you do it than the other one.
Yeah. The case of the pillow. I would think this is more makom to be mechayev. There's more a reason to think that the guy who pulls out the pillow should be chayev. Why? Because it's for sure going to happen. The laws of gravity are vadai. It's bari hezeka, meaning it's for sure going to happen that if you pull out the mattress, the thing is going to break. Now, you didn't throw it. But at this point, it's in midair. You're pulling out the thing. It's bari hezeka. It's for sure going to happen. In the case of the breaking down the fence, the animals could decide to stay inside or not. It's not for sure going to cause him any loss. Right? And another chiluk is similar to Yitzhak, but the other way around. That in the case, it's saying the same thing, but with another different logic, is that the case of the wall breaking, of you opening the fence, requires something else to take place in order for the damage to happen. The animals have to walk out now. Or for example, all the cases that we had, it requires something. You paid off the witnesses to testify falsely, but now they have to testify falsely. So something else has to happen, right? I pointed at that case. The Gemara says in Ukimta there. It's a little more complicated there. But so it's not Bari Ezek. It's not for sure going to happen. Also, maybe the guy will pay anyway. He still owes him the money. He can't, right? I'm not for sure going to make him lose money because of that. So the Rashi calls it a grama. The question is, could we hear a svara that maybe this case is a little bit more closer to vadai going to happen, and there's more of a logic to be mechayev, and maybe this is already called garmi. Maybe this is already called garmi. You understand what I'm saying? And as garmi is a higher level of indirect damage, that maybe there's room here to mechayev you. So these two svaras seems to be two svaras in Tosfos. If we look at Tosfos on that Gemara, Tosfos says kodom v'silkon pirish rabbeinu alfasi derabo letayme deles ledina de garmi b'reish agoizel. Says the Rif that we'll learn soon. There's a Gemara in Baba Kama later on Tzadiches. The Rabbah, that's why I said it's important to note the name Rabbah. Rabbah happens to hold that Garmi is exempt, as Pata, even Garmi. So Tosfos says pulling out the pillow is really Garmi, it's not Groma. Means really pulling out the pillow is more direct than letting the guy's animals free, because it's for sure going to happen. The reason Rabbah here exempts him is only because Rabbah happens to have an opinion that Garmi is also potter. We la halacha paskin, Garmi is chayiv. So lahalacha, according to the first answer of Taisus, we would hold that even if you open up the gate for your in front of the animals and the animals run out and he loses all of his animals, you're exempt. But if you pull out the pillow, you would be chayev, because that's for sure going to happen. That's the first shot in Taisus. But then the Ri says, ulari nira daha grama ben izak inu upatul kuli alma. The second Teretz of Taisus says, no, this is a regular grama. It's indirect. This is indirect. It's not enough. You didn't do anything. I'm just going to throw out one piece of svara. To be chayiv in nezikin, you have to do a maisa hezek, you have to do an action in the thing that you damaged. Here, you didn't touch the thing that you damaged at all. So therefore, anything that happens is automatically indirect. It's all circumstantial. What broke was the crystal, and I never interacted with the crystal bowl at all. Nothing I did ever interacted with the crystal. I didn't throw it off. I didn't blow on it. I didn't push it down. I had nothing to do with it. And therefore, since I never interacted with the crystal bowl directly, anything that I'll do, even if it's for sure going to cause hezek, is going to be called grama, and I'm going to be potter. So, lahalach lamaisa, we have two tirutzim of Taisus. And then we'll see the cases that Taisus is coming to compare them to, and we'll see where we're going with this. But Taisus has a shaila and halacha lamaisa. A person, right, this case, this crystal is in midair. You come and pull out the mattress, which could have protected him from a loss. The Gemara says that your potter says Taisus. Maybe that's grama on your potter lahalacha, or maybe it's garmi, which is a higher level, and lahalacha your chayiv. The Gemara is going now in the opinion that garmi is also potter, but we don't pass it that way.
How does work a copy of Shemayim according to my Ryerson's sock now? Maybe the second guy would have to be chayiv.
Right. Meanwhile, the second guy is definitely chayiv lotzis in the Shemayim, for sure.
The opening to the Tzitzim is that according to Rabbah, you are chayiv garmi. According to the first Torah,
no, Rabbah holds your potter and garmi, and that's why Rabbah here
right,
says.
According to the first Torah, according to the second
Torah,
we don't know that.
Right, that's not the point of Rabbah,
it's
correct?
Not
that's not what that, this would ever, this will be right. That's what Rabbah holds later,
got
but
it.
That's not what he's doing here. Here he's potter you because of grama, right. and even the halacha that we hold, not like Rabbah over there, we hold like this. Okay, so now we're starting to get. So that's what would come out. That's what would come out. Which cuts to your point. The guy who threw it off the thing is not Chayv B'din HaShemayim even. Because it's not considered he did anything. The guy who pulled out the mattress is going to be Chayv at least B'din HaShemayim.
So two are arguing. Is it
Garmi or not?
Garmi.
Yeah. So like I said, this is going to require a lot of nuancing through each case. It's this type of case that at the end, the Rush has two columns to try to explain the Chilukim. The Pepula Charifta, who's the Tosis Yom Tif, has a Pirush on the Rush. So he says, at the end, the Rush didn't really answer all the cases. And he brings the Mordechai, brings the Chilukim of the Rush. And he says, Lamaisa, the Rush, these Chilukim don't really explain all the cases well enough. And therefore, I don't really have what to say about this. So we're going to go case by case, but there's going to be a little bit of, we're going to have to use a little bit of creativity to really fit everything into the rules, okay? But what you see already here is that we're starting to get into cases that you could look at it both ways. Since it's more direct, or more vada, it's for sure going to happen, maybe you're chayiv, or maybe not, because soif kol soif, at the end of the day, you did not directly interact with the crystal bowl, and therefore, it's not considered, no matter what will happen, it's not considered that you damaged it.
There are sugyas like Carmel and other sugyas where there's sort of giri delay, where you didn't interact with the Dover HaNizik at all. But it's probably going to happen because of something you did. Where does that fit in?
No. What's that? If you shoot an arrow at the crystal bowl, you can't say, well, I didn't interact with it. That's koichai. Koichai is called touching it.
It's giri delay.
Giri delay is koichai, basically.
Yeah, but it's indirect.
No. Giri.
The
Mukhe says, giri delay is his koich. It's called koyach.
So that's not grama or garmi.
Right, that's koychai. Koychai is different. So if let's say the Gemara over there talks about, let's say you have a factory that creates a lot of vibrations, and because of that factory, this guy's house that lives next door, the you know, after enough of this, eventually the whole koysel collapses, the wall falls down, you have to pay for that. That's not called indirect. That's direct. I mean, your factory is causing vibrations which knock down his wall. So koichai is not garama. Okay? Something which is your energy, if you're putting energy into something, right, you pull a bow and arrow, and then the arrow breaks the crystal, you're not going to say, well, that's just garama. I just let go. I just let go of the bow, whatever, and then it went. You know, it's not me. So you don't say that. Even though it's a good question, why not? Because in the case of the bow and arrow, you're not actually putting in the koyach into it. But okay, fine. All right. So we're starting to touch on some of the distinction in the cases, okay? And this is going to be a little more, some more detail as we go along. So let's start page 4, which is Daf Tzadichesim and Aleph in Baba Kama. And over there, remember we talked about Rabbah a minute ago? So Rabbah says 4 halachas over here. And each one of these halachas, we're going to have to think about, is it grama? Is it garmi? What is it? Case number 1. Amar Rabbah. I want to hear what the oilman is going to say about this. It's going to be interesting. Amar Rabbah. There's Negeta scuba divers, so listen carefully. Amar Rabbah. Hazorek matbeya shel chaver liyam agadol. You threw a person's coin, okay, a person has an expensive coin, whatever, and you threw his silver coin into the ocean. Says Rabbah Potter. You're Potter, you don't have to pay. Page 4 in the booklet. On the first piece of Gemara. Amar Rabbah Zerk Matriya Shachavir Liyam Agado Potter. You're exempt. My time. Well, why are you exempt? Ha Amar, because the guy who threw it in, he could say to the owner of the coin, Hamanach Kamach. What's the problem? The coin is right there. E boys shakle. You can go get it. Hani mili bitzlulin de kachazilei. Avalachurin de loy kachazilei loy. Meaning, and Tosis explains, it's talking about clear water that you could basically see the coin. It just happens to be 50 feet into the water. So, it doesn't just mean clear. It means that it's very easy to get it. It's not, but who's going to be able to get it for you? And Rashi says that you would have to hire a scuba diver to go get it. Okay? So in other words, the coin is still there. And you could still get it. So what damage did the guy who threw the coin in do to the owner of the coin? He's causing him to have to pay someone to go get the coin. So says Rabbi, you don't have to pay for that. You have the coin. You still have access to the coin. Now it's just going to cost you money to go get the coin. So since it's going to cost you money to get the coin, so then I'm exempt. However, if the coin is not accessible anymore, there's nobody that could go get it for you. I don't know where it is. So it's not accessible at all, then you're a chayv, because that's considered that you actually stole the coin or you damaged the coin. You lost the coin. Okay? So this is case number 1. You hear the case? Okay. So if the coin is accessible via Rashi's Lashon, it's actually in the Daf Yomi today with all the cases of the water and the oceans. It talks about these scuba diver people. So, The boy lemesav zuzil bara moira. That you would have to go and hire someone to go get it for you. That's called a grama, indirect damage. And since the coin is still available, you're exempt according to Rabbah. Good. Case number 2. Amar Rabbah, where it's underlined again. Amar Rabbah, case number 2. Hashaf matbeya shel chaveiro potter. In those days, what happened? Every coin, the value of the coin was the weight of the silver or the bronze or the gold. That was the real value of it. But in order for it to be considered currency and not just a piece of gold, so it had the stamp of the king on it. And the stamp of the king, supposedly, the purpose was to verify that it was pure silver or pure gold or the metal was valuable. So what this guy did was that he smashed down the seal of the king.
He rubbed it out.
But all the metal that was there before is still there. So the actual value of the coin is still there. But the ability for me to use it as currency is gone. I'm going to have to go back to the mint to get it restamped. So basically, so the Rabbah again says that you're potter. Obviously, Rabbah says that if you cut off the stamp, right, you cut off the metal, and you smoothed it off, then you're chayev, because that's direct damage, and you directly took off the part of the metal. But if all the value is still there, all it is that for me to be able to use it the way I used it before would require me to go back to the mint and get it restamped. So that's an expense. That's called grama, that's indirect. So I held you, so this would be a good example. Let's say maybe this would be negay with a key. Car keys are expensive. And I don't know, I ran over your car key with my car. So now it's all bent out of shape. But you could technically go back and fix it. I don't know, maybe that's not true, because there the value of it is the use. There's no value of it besides that. So I don't know if that's a good case. I don't know if that's a good example.
Chip,
huh?
Nowadays the keys all have chips in them, so what do we
get? Yeah, we're talking about the metal part, but no, okay, I don't know if it's a good example, because there the whole value is the use of it. Here the value is the metal. Okay, maybe it's not an example. But anyway, the that's case number two of Rabbah. Case number three of Rabbah is V'amar Rabbah Hatzorim Oizen Parosoi Shel Chavei Roi Potter. This is talking about a case. What you did was you have a para, you have a cow, and the cow was set aside to be a carbon. Well, it wasn't yet set aside to be a carbon, but I promised a carbon. And it's coming up Sukkot. I'm planning to go up to the Beis HaMikdash, and I have my carbon ready to go. And I went ahead and pierced the ear. Now, in the value of the animal, whether you're going to shech the animal, whether you're going to use the animal to plow, there's no difference in value. It's not considered damaging an animal. If I would stam have an animal and I go up, pierce the ear, no one cares. It doesn't change the value at all. But for this owner of the cow, it does hurt him, because now he has to go buy a new animal to bring a carbon. So you caused him indirect damage, because even though in the value of the cow nothing changed, but for him to now go get a carbon, he has to go get a new animal. So that's called groma. That's Rabbah holds your potter. Case number three. So case number one is you threw his coin into the ocean and he has to hire someone to go get it. Case number two, you took off the stamp, he has to go to the mint and reseal it. And case number three is, again, you know, no damage to the value of the para, but for him to go get a new carbon, he has to go to the store and buy a new carbon. Three cases. Case number four, the Omar Rabbah. Bottom of the page. Hasoyrif shtoroi shel chaveroi potter. Now this is a little different. You took a document, that a promissory note, that says Reuven owes Shimon $1,000, and you burnt it. So Reuven, guess what? Reuven still owes Shimon $1,000. But now, Shimon is going to have a hard time collecting that money, because he doesn't have a document anymore. Now, the Gemara goes on and says, do you have witnesses? Don't you have witnesses? Fine. But the point is that assuming that we could still verify the loan, so we know that he owes him the money, but he can't collect. So Rabbah holds your potter in that case also. Four cases. Does anyone think that the fourth case is maybe more chayev than the first three?
Because the note itself is worth money.
Well, you're going to pay the value of the paper. The paper itself, you mean?
No, it's a tradable It's
negotiable.
It's like a dollar bill.
I mean, I could sell it for $900.
Exactly, to market for it.
Right, there's a shtar by itself that I could sell it for $900. Now I have a chayv of $1,000. I can't do anything with it. Right. So the question of the poiskim, why are we dealing with that?
Right. So people always sell their shtaras at a discount. That's the whole market.
Yeah, I'm not sure why. I think. Did we say anyone discussed? I think it could be that the shach discusses that at what some point, or the ketzais. Why aren't we dealing with that value? But yeah. So now, look at page 5, and in the middle of the page, I have it marked off. Amar Amemar. Amemar says, "Man de doyin dina de garmi." If you hold of garmi, means not grama, but you hold garmi, which is the upper level grama. Magbi be dmei shtar ma'alya. If you burn someone's shtar, you have to pay for the value of the debt, because that's called a higher level of indirect damage. That's called garmi. That's called garmi. You burnt the shtar. There's no way he can collect. Since there's no way that he can collect, that's like taking the value. That's like taking the loan and throwing it in the garbage. So you took my whole loan. It's not just now you're forcing me to go, and that's mamish agarmi. Uman deloy doin dina de garmi. But if you don't hold the dina de garmi, magbi beit me nayir ba'alma. You just pay the value of the paper. Hava uvda. There was a story of a kafi ravim l'rav Ashi v'agbi beit bikshur l'tzalma. They basically ended up paying the full value. So the Gemara says that even though Rabba holds that when you burn someone's document, you don't have to pay for the value of the debt. You only pay for the value of the paper. But a Meimar, and we paskin, that if you hold Dina de Garmi, then burning a shtar is Dina de Garmi. So this is the source where you see Rabba does not hold the Garmi. And you see also that the Gemara holds that burning a shtar is called Garmi because that's called direct damage. Now, what we're going to leave, because we're not going to get into it now, the question we're going to have is, the first three cases of Rabba, are they also Garmi? Or is the Gemara just saying the last case of Rabba is Garmi? And we have to go back to the other choices. What about taking away the pillow? Is that Garmi? Is Rabba only pottering him because he doesn't hold a Garmi, but it's like burning a shtar or not? So these are like the 5-6 cases that we're going to juggle around, but there's a couple more cases we got to get into. So we'll see. Now next week we have Ayarchi Kala. So next week we have Rabbi Kushner coming from Lakewood, and a few, it's going to be like a whole event. Mitzvah Hashem. I told you it was 22nd. It's next week. It's the 15th. We changed the date. So so next Sunday we'll join that. We're going to have that shir. Very interesting topic. And it's also a Chosh Mishpat topic. And then the following Sunday we'll be back in Mitzvah Hashem. All right?